It's Party Friday in the time of coronas, everybody. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show. We're going to have a great show. We've got Patrick Neville, the Minority Report. We got a report from the Open Up Colorado rally down at the Capitol, May Day rally down at the Capitol. We're going to have Michael Tao on about the incredible revelations on
Flynn and Biden.
Flynn and Biden and everything else. But we're brought to you, as always, by
ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice, one of the websites I check every day. They've got, and that, actually that kind of leads us into a conversation with State Minority Leader Patrick Neville with the Weekly Minority Report. You know, Patrick.
Well, we do that, we've also got another sponsor. Growing and growing and growing, and we'll talk about that sponsor around the 3:20 to 3:30 break, but it's going to be
pretty interesting. You're going to want to hear about that.
You won't be bored.
We'll see pictures of Chuck, but that's as far as we're going to go.
That's exciting.
Hey, so, okay, one of the things they talk about a lot lately in Colorado Citizen Press is what I believe to be the overreach by Governor Polis. So we have with us State Minority Leader Patrick Neville. First off, Patrick, hey, thanks for joining us. Happy Friday.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So
why do we need you guys? Polis seems to be doing a great job taking over the real estate industry, deciding on his own, sua sponte,
can't evict anybody,
which is fun for those people who have mortgages, invested in homes and rent them out and other things. So I guess he decides that the tenants are the winners and the people who own places get to go bankrupt and go back
and
to
I
the
heard
banks.
Tonight he's doing more executive orders and he's eliminating the legislature, actually.
Yeah,
Patrick,
you're no longer a minority leader. He's decided.
What do you make of all that he's doing?
Well, it's crazy. Like, even, you know, there's the executive order that he put out last night, too, that for the sequestration, actually cutting back funds. I mean, it was kind of amazing that I think our JBC member only had like an hour heads up before that even happened. You think that's something you would actually work with the JBC intensely on before he did that? Not that it was a bad move. I mean, that's probably something he should be doing. But if you want to actually get buy-in from the legislature, reach out to the people that write your own budget. And he didn't even do that. So, yeah, he's doing a lot of things. I think as time goes on, he's kind of enjoying this power more and more. And it's getting a little scary. So, I'm actually looking forward to kind of getting back in there so we can push back against some of this stuff.
Well, you know, back in Roman times, in times of crisis, you had the proconsuls regularly, but in the middle of a war, they'd declare a dictator, and he could do it. He'd do things for 6 months. Then they started doing Sulla, and others decided to do it for 5 years. And then Julius Caesar said, 5 years, 6 months, none of that stuff. I'm dictator for life. It's pretty easy to go down that slope and have going, oh, you know, we've got this crisis, we got that crisis, I'll just take over the world.
That's right. You know, that's why one of the reasons we pushed back from the very early part of this one, even before Polis actually did his order, we were pushing back against the local jurisdictions orders, the tri-county orders and stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
I just don't think they're constitutional. I mean, I don't think it's constitutional to, keep healthy people quarantined. I think if you want to actually quarantine sick people, you can make a case constitutionally for that. I certainly don't think you can for healthy people. And I remember we had huge blowback and huge pushback and practically got raked over the coals. That letter in late March. And, you know, for me, it's an important thing. Look, I mean, I'll never forget having to bury friends of mine that paid the ultimate price to sacrifice for our freedoms. I will never forget their little kids crying, saying, I miss daddy, mommy, things of that nature. I mean, to me, that sticks with me. And this is not something that those sacrifices are huge. And I'm just not going to let them go away because we suddenly get scared because of a pandemic.
Well, you know, yeah, and I keep saying that, you know, the corporate media peddles this panic porn. And I also think, to me, I have a lot of questions with, for instance, we're going to talk to somebody on Monday who had a friend who died of a stroke, right? Clearly a stroke, in fact, tested negative for coronavirus. And then the coroner, the doctor put on the coroner changed the cause of death to coronavirus, right? I mean, and I think.
And the basis was, well
because the test
tests can be wrong, so.
Right.
Why not coronavirus? How many of those? I know it happened in Pennsylvania. I know we had double counting.
Well, they've had to take them off. They've had to resurrect
people
in Colorado.
But obviously, there's enormous impetus to say coronavirus.
And lack of transparency, I guess. Yeah. Patrick, are you guys going to look into any of that. It seems like Paulus is just issuing these decrees. And like you said, maybe they're necessary, maybe they're not. But well, we elected are, but... you guys to be there to at least, I mean, everyone else can Zoom. My third grader is Zooming, right? Mm-hmm. I would think that Paulus could figure out how to use a telecommunications guy.
Could get JBC, you know?
Right, I mean... he could get you guys on the line somehow, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely get us on the line. You know, it's definitely something we're going to look into. I mean, I've heard similar stories of that. I haven't been able to corroborate anything, but I've heard stories about people that have actually fallen, you know, and they had high, like, levels of alcohol in them and stuff, and then they were going to classify it as COVID if they tested positive, even though it was clearly the person right. fell while they were drunk, and they were going to classify it that way. So, I mean, there's a lot of shady stuff going on. I think the big thing we're going to focus on when we get back is, at least to the House Republicans, we're going to try to do as much as we can to cut the red tape to get the economy going again.
Yeah,
there's a lot of different things happening out there right now. You take a look at, like, the cattle industry right now.
Yeah.
A lot of those feedlots are completely packed and full, and they might have, like, a permit that allows them to have 30,000 head of cattle, and right now Polis's departments aren't actually allowing them to go above that. And so we need to address things like that. I mean, what's their option, right? The supply chain is totally broken. They can't actually get them to the packing facilities. So what do you do with them? I mean, what do these feedlots do? Just turn the cattle away, or do they start burying the cattle? And
I mean, yeah.
What do we do? And so that's just one example of many that we need to address.
Well, one of the things that we admired you so much for is that you brought a lawsuit against the legislature saying, you know, you cannot –
fast read
these the things. And are there any lawsuits contemplated against our permanent dictator, or at least temporary dictator, Jared Polis, saying, wait a minute, you can't just decide you control the real estate business because you want to?
Well, there's actually a lawsuit out there, the private gentleman. I had not had anything to do with it, but I read the report on CBS4. Who's actually done some decent reporting on some of this stuff.
Right.
There is a lawsuit out there. Someone who actually just filed a lawsuit on the governor because of this, and basically said that he had no access to his chiropractor, he couldn't buy or sell real estate, and was infringing on his rights.
What so, about this, Patrick?
Interesting. I'd love to get a hold of that guy and you know, help him in his cause, because I think it's a righteous cause.
One thing too, when you guys, well, first actually, let me ask you this. Any idea when you do go back, or what that's going to look like?
No, I think we're going to go back around May 18th. I think that's the plan right now. When we do go back, I think the main thing that we're going to be focusing in on is budget. We're looking at, I mean, if you look at real cuts, so not doing the government math, but just actually basing off of what we had last year to what we're going to have this year, the best case scenario is we have the same amount, but I don't think that's even close to possible. I think we're going to be looking at shaving about $2 billion off of the general fund alone this year. So there's a lot of programs we're going to have to go back and look and say, you know, this is probably not worth it. And obviously the Democrats are in charge, but I think they're going to want to try to do more kind of pork projects and hand stuff out. And, you know, I think, like I said, the Republicans are going to be focusing on what can we do to cut the red tape to get the economy going again.
Why
should a business that was forced to be shut down for over a month be forced to pay business personal property tax?
They were forced
to be shut down by the government. I think we should be addressing causes like that, and I think that's what the Republicans.
We're talking with Patrick Neville, the minority leader in the House, and really, I think people view him as the
conservative voice,
Republican voice for all of Colorado. And I understand there'll be no furloughs. Nobody let off government. That is just so irresponsible and so pathetic. We had Ted Trimpon says, well, we have these laws that prevent anybody from ever being fired or something. It really is how business gets better. I know I've had to lay off people, and it's a tough one. But when you do it periodically, you understand, you know, we got efficiencies. You try to become better. If it's just that we all get to suffer and government workers just mock us and belittle us and figure out how they can
tell us that we're going to kill people. We've got blood on our hands. Even though everything is open, right?
Yeah, that's right. And endless regulators. I mean, can't we quarantine Dora Just close it down.
Yeah, let me ask you about this about Dora. And I know we're going to have Jan Cook on here in about 10 minutes talking about their rally today. Can you maybe help people with this at all, Patrick? Because I know I've heard from a lot of small business people that are covered by Dora, right? That their letters are completely confusing. It's sort of like, well, we think that, I mean, it's just so vague and it gives you no real guidance, no real, it's sort of like the Pirates of the Caribbean, right? These are guidelines kind of stuff. And it's like, well, yeah, but am I going to walk the plank if I break the guideline? Can you guys, these people like you, help?
That's been the problem, quite frankly, from the very beginning, Julie. Yeah. So, I mean, we pushed back at the very beginning on chiropractors specifically. I mean, they called them non-essential and made them shut down. I'm like, are you kidding me? I actually had a personal conversation with the governor. It was like, you got to be kidding me. These chiropractors are actually keeping people out of the ER. They're keeping people out of the medical facilities. You need to open these guys up. And he said, okay. And so they said, okay, as long as you're within these guidelines. And the guidelines were so confusing. What happened is you basically had other chiropractors turning in other chiropractors for opening and then Dora sending out these threatening messages to these chiropractors saying they're going to lose their license. And these poor guys, here they have years and years in school and probably a ton of student debt because of it. And they're going, and my license, my whole livelihood is going to be revoked. So of course,
well, if anybody that's ever had a bad back and had it get out of joint, where you really can't get out of bed. I mean, you really can't. I mean, it's that bad.
Chiropractors are essential.
Yeah. I mean, and
what's your option? Go on a bunch of painkillers, a bunch of opiates?
It's a lot because once it's out of kilter.
That's right. They need all that funding for the opiate addiction.
Yeah, that's right. Well, then go on heroin because you guys can set up a new heroin center these days.
Well, what about, you know,
not you guys, but the legislature, the Democrats.
I have another question in terms of what you guys can maybe help with, and that is, why do counties have to ask the governor? Why do elected county officials have to ask the governor to ask unelected bureaucrats if they can open? I mean, to me, that seems like another thing. If you're on, that's to say you're a nail salon on one side of County Line Road, so all of a sudden now you can open, but the nail salon right across the street, oh, we'll all die if that one opens. I mean, can you help people with that too? It just seems to me really unfair the way the governor is like, oh, well, county, no, we can't. Well, county can't do anything. But if you're,
county.
You know, Pitkin County or places
Eagle
like,
County,
open right on up. You know, if it pleases the crown, you know, that's kind of what's happening right now. Is Bolas is saying, oh, well, you've got to get my approval, and if you don't, then you can't open up. And it's a big issue too. And then even the time frame that he's taken to approve this. I think like Logan County turned one in, and they're still waiting. And here, this is about as rural as it can possibly get. Much more probably rural than even Eagle is, and they're still waiting on their approval.
Eagle's Vale.
Can you guys?
I totally agree. I think I don't think that they should have to ask approval if the local officials are saying they can open up. And the other thing that I want to address is I don't think that unelected bureaucrats should be making these decisions.
No,
I think it should be up. It's fine if they make a recommendation, but I want to make sure that whoever's actually making these orders is someone who's actually elected.
Yeah. Right. Good kudos to you and the other people in Douglas County who wrote all your county commissioners and the Department of Health saying, this is ridiculous. You don't get to make all these decisions. So TriHealth, just to show they're totally corrupt, said, we don't want to lose Douglas County, so you can open up, but not Jefferson. No, I mean Arapo or those awful people up in Adams County. No, they can't open up.
It's amazing. I mean, we got raked over the coals when we did that letter March 25th, but it certainly aged well. I remember Kyle Clark and all those other guys making a big deal of it, saying. Making the comparison that, oh, this is like a forest fire, and fire department comes and knocks on your door, you don't threaten to disperse the contract, even though he got that one wrong too, because of
actually people do.
From the sheriff,
pocket anything right?
Just an elected official, but everyone was just going after us like crazy. But now it's like, why can't we open up? that letter probably had something to do with it.
Susan Beckman's replacement, I guess his name is Campion. He wrote saying, wait a minute, what about Arapahoe County, you jerks?
Well, what about, Can you do anything when you guys do get back there? Because here's my concern, right? That they're going to, I mean, Pola's having seen how fun and easy this was, this right? May say, hey, you know what? There's another emergency. Is there anything you can do, or do you think we should, to make sure that this can't happen again in this manner?
Well, they don't control the legislature.
Well, I know, but can you try? Can you try?
that's one of the problems, too. And, you know, I get a lot of emails too, of people even angry, like, you need to do more, you need to do something. How did you allow this to happen? And again, I'm the minority leader, so I get a say, but I don't always get my way. But we will definitely get our say, and we'll definitely push back as hard as we possibly can, like we've been the whole time. But again, we don't always have the numbers. What we really need to do is make sure that in November, we are really paying attention to this and seeing how easily some of these elected officials or even non-elected officials actually took away your freedoms and remember that come November.
Yeah. Right.
You know, we're looking, look, one of the big things that Democrats are doing right from the start off the chopping block of the budget, they're looking at taking away the senior homestead exemption.
Oh yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. There you go. That's what needs
right?
to go.
So these poor seniors who bought probably a house, some of them like for $20,000.
Right.
Now it's assessed at like $800,000.
Right.
They're not going to be able to live in their house. And so we're hurting the vulnerable. The people are telling, stay home because you're vulnerable, but we're going to, hey, you know, you can't afford
your house. We're going to make sure
you can help you out with that.
Go to one of our nursing homes.
So, I mean,
we put the coronavirus and kill you all. Do you feel an increasing, I mean, I do, but maybe it's just me, an increasing anger out there at the arbitrariness of POLUS and really across the country? I get, you know, you always see these polls say 95% of the people want to stay at home and never leave again. And
I'm skeptical.
Yeah.
No, I'm definitely sensing a lot of people are just kind of fed up and, you know, I think when it first started, folks were like, okay, well, let's do a little bit of trust. But that's what's great about America is they actually do inquire and they are inquisitive. And now people are starting to dig in and read more details. And they're looking at the economy and going, man, the damages that we're causing because of this might actually be worse than the COVID itself over the long term.
Yes.
Right.
Look at it in their own livelihood.
Yeah, what I love about the governor
sounds good. If you can just sit at home and you've got your job,
right? If you've got a paid job, exactly.
He's going to follow the regional.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Regional
we're,
group.
We're combined.
That isn't our region. You know,
California, Washington, Oregon,
and Nevada. You know, not Nebraska, Wyoming, New Mexico, Arizona. No, no. We're going to the West Coast
the other
regional.
Region.
And it's like NCAA.
Oh, isn't that ridiculous? It's the same thing with the national popular vote. Let's abdicate our role and our responsibility to California. What a great idea.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just absolutely ridiculous. And it's a continued pattern that he's had.
Right.
Well, what I love is that, you know, because they've been able to seize the democracy here in Colorado and rig it with mail-in ballots and ballot harvesting, now they all want to do it. I mean, they've watched how effective it is in Colorado disenfranchising the half of the people, and also in Orange County. Now they want to do it nationally. They said, look what we did to Colorado. You know, they have no chance, and we've rigged it. Look at them. They used to have, you know, governors. They used to have legislatures, and we've rigged it so they can't. I mean, and everybody's looking at Colorado. God, that's great. You know, that's not a democracy at all. This is perfect. Let's take this model and do it nationally.
Yeah, and then here you have Pelosi actually trying to push it nationally too. It's just, it goes to show. No, that's what they want. But yeah, we got to fight back on it, and that's why elections do matter.
Well, you know, I wanted to.
Well, not if you rig them.
The majority gets their way, we get our say. And I think
here's
we're
the
louder
thing.
Than most minorities across the country, but we, again, we don't always have the numbers. We are down.
Because they rigged the election. It's a rigged election.
Well, and not only that, it's the thing is too.
It's like Mississippi in 1920. Yes, there was an election.
Right.
They just made sure that none of the blacks could vote. And here, you have an election, but because they have the ability to give money and part of the budget goes to ballot harvesting and everything, they've rigged the election so we can't win. At some point, we're going to have to go, we're not going to participate in this crooked, amoral system anymore.
Well, and here's the thing too, Patrick, when you talk about election, you have consequences. You would. for instance, when Polis is now saying, okay, we're going to close this business or we're going to find this person, right? If you had an attorney general who was maybe a Republican and reasonable, you would at least have somebody able to push back. But right now, like you said, the trouble with Colorado, talking about election, it's a Democrat governor. I mean, every state office, the state legislature is controlled. And I bet you do, you get people, because I hear people saying, do more. And you're like, I'm trying.
Well, all the guys I talk to in the Democratic side, they say, governor's race, Polis would won anyway. He would have won anyway. But the AG's race, if they hadn't rigged it, they would not have won. If they had not rigged it,
AG's race. Weiser's been the biggest tyrant probably of all of them.
Yeah, right.
Jumping at the chance to give cease and desist orders and shut down businesses.
Yeah, right.
He's gleeful about it. It's rather creepy. Yeah. I mean, he's not even giving them a chance to, like, oh, well, maybe come into compliance with social distancing, things like that. It's like, no, let's just shut them down. Yay. Right.
Yeah,
let's use the power of the state to shut these guys down.
There is
I'm saving lives.
Yeah, really. There's one silver lining, though, I thought, just for folks who are listening, for Jan Cook, it was my mistake. I had the wrong phone number, so I've texted her asking her to call us. And I don't want to give her phone number out live over the radio. But, you know, one of the things I think that is good is I saw the Democrats are dropping the whole paid family leave concept.
They're going to put it on the ballot.
They're going to put it on the ballot, although I don't have time to put it on the ballot, and I don't think that's the kind of thing anyone's going to be paying for now. But, I mean, it does look like some of the really bad, awful things the Democrats wanted to try to do to us this legislative session, at least some of them have been put off, right?
Maybe.
Well, we'll see. I mean, they're talking about that. We'll truly see. We don't know about this, how the legislature is going to come once we actually come back on the 18th. I mean, one of the things that I take a look at when we started the legislative session, Polis was talking total smack and just going after hospitals like crazy. How dare these guys get profits, and they're way too profitable. And so we need this public option, the state option. And then now this hits, and now, you know, hospitals are actually losing money, and they're flat out saying that had the public option been in place, we wouldn't have been able to react the way we have and prepare for this crisis at all. And so it'll be interesting to see what they do with that one specifically, because I keep saying we got to look at everything through a new lens. I mean, look, I've got some bills out there that were, you know, really important to me before all this happened, that I was trying to push along. Looking at it now, it's just, it's a different lens. They're probably not going to make it through, and probably not time to focus on them. And again, with the money and the budget crunch that we're in, we've got to look at everything through a different lens.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Well, listen, final question for you then, Patrick. What else is going on out there that you want folks to know about? What other kinds of stuff are you working on? Besides having your kids,
it's really been all this the whole time, trying to get businesses to open, trying to get the economy going again. I get a little frustrated when we keep hearing, oh, we need more bailout money here and more money there and more money there. And, you know, really, this is, we're trying to put a Band-Aid on, but we haven't stopped the bleeding. And, you know, we're going to stop the bleeding. We actually let businesses open up and we get the economy humming again.
Yeah,
right.
Until then, everything we're doing is just trying to address symptoms, but we haven't actually solved the problem.
All right. Well, we appreciate you as always coming on. You're always a busy guy, but you're just great about answering all the questions and giving us some hope. So we appreciate
you,
Patrick.
Have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. We're waiting for, I texted Jan Cook. Like I said, I don't want to put her phone number out there. This is an operator error situation.
Well, since we did that, let me just
tell folks. So she's going to talk about the rally that is just concluding. We're going to have Michael Tao on General Flynn, but this is the rollout.
All right. We've got a new sponsor to add to our great Citizens Colorado Press and Centergenics, Dr. Julie McCallum. You ever heard that name before? Peter Boyles credits her with saving his life. And he was always recommending to me that
For years.
You got to go see Julie. Yeah. And then I got heart problems. I went for heart surgery, ablation surgery. And then I said, well, maybe it's time.
Maybe I should take a look at some of the stuff that Peter
said. So this is the picture of me early in the summer. Can that be seen? Okay.
That's not the best. There you go.
It's a happy time. My son and I have just won the father-son tournament at a local golf club. And so I'm very happy. But you may notice there's a slight bit of weight on there.
Not quite Brad Pitt like.
Not almost Brad Pitt. Yeah, yeah, maybe more like Dr. Fauci. but so I decided, after the heart problems, I need to go see him. And it's been amazing. It's just been amazing. Centergenics is their business, and it's really age management. We're keeping you as young as you possibly
were joking before that some people can, like we did, I had Chuck was 60, I was 52 when we had Rev. That's one way to keep young, but there is an easier way, and that's Centergenics.
And it's amazing. I mean, they do a 7-hour analysis for you to begin. You find out all of, heart problems, what are you going to need, what are the cholesterol you're going to need to take down, and then they monitor it, and they make sure that it all goes down through the combination of vitamins and hormones and everything else that really leaches out as you get a bit older. And you go through a whole regimen that allows you to feel 1,000 times younger, I can promise you. And for a little over 50 days, about a month and a half ago, I lost a total of I went from that picture, which I had about 305, down to about 360.
260.
260. And now I'm almost 6'4", so I can carry a lot of weight, but not that much weight. And now, after going on a program, I'm down to 260. But this is the exciting part. Starting late next week or early the following week, I'm going to go back on the program that I lost about 45 pounds. I'm going to try to lose another 45.
We're calling it Operation Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. I want to get to the weight I did when I was in school, when I boxed in the Golden Gloves and I played rugby. Now, I haven't weighed that since I was in my...
A couple years ago,
maybe about half a century. but I'm going to try to get down to 218, which is what I fought at and other things. But you're going to get to watch it live.
Well, not all of it live.
Well, you're going to see the results. You're going to see the results. And this.
You won't have to watch Chuck weigh himself after the shower, but.
Well, you can if you special request, subscribe. A special premium member can do that.
Let me tell people, because we're getting a comment. It's Centergenics, and I'm going to spell it, okay? It's Centergenics. And they have it in
just
different
states. Just Centergenics.
You're saying it wrong. I'm sorry, but there's no R. Centergenics.
Centergenics.
Denver. Okay, I'm going to give their number, 720-387-3681. 720-387-3681. It's denver.centergenics.com. But that just so people know what we're talking.
If you get their spelling close, you'll get it on the internet. And Dr. Julie McCallum, who is a miracle worker, she really is. But you're going to be able to watch this as it happens. And this is like being a tightrope
walker. Kind of like Oprah.
Well, not like Oprah. Well, not exactly, because she's fat today.
No.
But you're walking, I'm going to try to get down to what I weighed when I fought and when I was in school. And, this is like not being a high wire act with no net. There's no net. I mean, it's going to be
Chuck
no net.
If Chuck doesn't do it, you'll watch. If I just
crash
out of the picture
crash,
like this because
yeah.
It didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't work. So you're going to be able to watch it live.
And then Julie McCallum was like, Chuck, shut up.
and so at the end of this, we're going to compare my numbers when I started to when I finished. Not only just weight, but all the numbers for what my cholesterol rate, every rate, you're going to see a reveal live. And Julie finds that funny.
No, it's going to work. I don't have to do it.
You don't have to dick. luckily we're on cable. We're on a podcast. But so it's going to be exciting. And I'm going to go through it with you. I mean, I'm going to try to get back to the weight I weighed when I was in school. I've already lost 45 pounds, so now it's going to try to lose another approximately 45
pounds.
Well,
what's good about this, and I will say this, just as Chuck's wife, is watching, like I said, a year and a half ago, he ignored Peter Boyles forever. I'm talking to Peter when Chuck is in the hospital, and Peter's saying, you've got to get him in to see Dr. McCallum. So we forced him in. It was like an intervention practically, but boom. A year later, now he calls her all the time, and it's done. Some of it is with prescription drugs. A lot of it is just vitamins. And what she does is she kind of takes a look at your body, helps adjust, and come up with a program that works for you
and gives you a diet. In my whole life, I've kind of eaten wherever I sort of wanted, and that was okay when I had it. But now she goes in and says, "Well, what do you like?" And she says, "Well, let's substitute this for that. Let's get this for that." And so all of a sudden, you find yourself eating just as healthy, are more healthy, but just as filling. She says, we'll substitute this for that. This is a good form of what you're doing for here. And all of a sudden, you're losing weight. You're younger feeling, a lot younger feeling. Now, we're going to have the COVID-19 come back in the late fall. It's coming back like everyone else has come back. And I must admit, I don't feel particularly at risk for COVID-19. And I must admit, I have friends who do very much. They're a little bit terrified to go out. And I am not. Now, you can die from regular flu. You can die from a thousand. You can get in a car crash, cancer, a thousand things. But I don't feel particularly at risk for COVID-19. Not that I want to get it. I mean, I got the swine flu, and that was not fun. But this is a program to get you back. So if it comes back, you're not going to be at the at-risk group.
So we need that's Michael Tao is here. So we'll go to that. But just want to let folks know, it's Cenegenics Denver, Cenegenics. Or just call them, 720-387-3681.
It'll be a life changer. At Peter Boyle's, it was a life changer. For me, it's a life changer. And it'll be a life changer for you.
All right. So we'll talk more about that. Jan Cook just texted me. She's still rallying, so she's going to call us. But wanted to bring our friend and investigative blogger Michael Tao on. Michael, you were kind of like our spirit slash fact guide through the whole Russia hoax thing. And so now that it's continuing to unravel, and again, we were kind of staging emails. None of us are holding our breath necessarily for something to happen. But you want to talk a little bit about a lot of revelations going on right now about General Flynn. And can you kind of sum that up for us? What are some of the key parts there? Can you hear us, Michael? Oh, you got to unmute yourself. Wait, unmute yourself. There you go.
Am I muted now? Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Okay, good. How come I can't hear me? Ah.
Yeah.
How are you guys?
We're great.
We're good. We're good. So General Flynn, it's as bad as we thought, even worse than we thought. I mean, walk us through it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you read this and it's just like, when is somebody going to be punished? When is somebody going to be punished? When is somebody going to, it's like the only thing I can think of, like, I don't even want to hear anymore really about like what's gone wrong and what bad things they've done. Like, when is anybody, and the answer of course is like never. Like, for the first, so Andrew Weissman, the Mueller's, the person,
the prosecutor.
Yeah, Mueller's prosecutor. He first thing he said something I agree with. He says there's nothing new here. It's like the first time I ever thought I would agree with him. Yep. I mean, look, they have notes now where somebody's asking, like, what's our goal here? To get the guy to lose his job?
Get him to lie? I mean,
get him to lie? What's the goal here? What are we after? And there's a letter with Lisa Page trying to figure out if they can tell him that it's illegal to lie to the FBI, the warning they have to give him, if they can sort of slip it in a way.
Casually slip it in.
And they didn't even do that. They didn't even bother to do that, less a Miranda warning. Oh, no, forget that.
And the laws that they're, it's incredible this isn't even reported. What are they getting him on? The Logan Act. It was passed in 1799.
Right.
Like, this law has it ever been prosecuted? I think it maybe.
Yes. There was one indictment before the Civil War.
My God. So when are they going to enforce? Why don't they enforce sodomy laws at this point? Like, this is like a 79. And then the other is the Farah Act, which was passed to stop Nazi propaganda in like 1933. Like, this is the stuff that they're pulling out to entrap this guy. It's been obvious for so long that it's just entrapment. It should have been as soon as it was announced that Mueller was picking Weissman, and they were saying in the newspaper when it was announced, he's the heart behind it, and Mueller's the face. Weissman is running things. But the guy, so Weissman, he prosecutes Arthur Anderson. What is it? 85,000 employees lose their job because the firm goes under. 9-0, the Supreme Court, everybody, the liberals, the conservatives, they all overturn the convictions. So at that point, you'd think in a country that cared about its people, this guy would have been called up to account. Somebody would have said, dude, you just bankrupted a company, cost 85,000 people their job, and the Supreme Court just overturned your conviction 9-0. Everybody, like Scalia, everybody agreed. There was no liberal conservative split. Maybe not obviously, but let's investigate. You've done something that like looks like prosecutorial misconduct that like had a massive consequence. What happens? He gets hired on to go after Trump people. So right. The whole thing, it's just like.
And now he's a professor.
Right, right. Hey, and let me put everybody on hold. Michael, stay right there. We're kind of jumping around a little bit today because we got Iggy and then Jan. I wanted to just touch base with Jan on something we were talking about before. She's been rallying. So Jan, let's bring you up real quick. And if sure. you have something to say about General Flynn, you can. But otherwise, how did things go at the May Day Reopen Colorado rally?
Well, I'll tell you what, it was a hot day. So if it's really true that the coronavirus doesn't like sun, we're golden after today. You know what the most fun thing that we did today? And I honestly have no idea who thought of it, but it was brilliant. DORA, which is the Department of Regulatory Agency, which is where all the business licensing and the rules and the nasty letters have been coming out to our hairdressers and personal services people, don't you dare cut anybody's hair. We're going to take your license away. We did a walk from the Capitol
right.
and went over to Colfax and went around to the department. And while we were doing it, I got to tell you, it was like your 921 Stand With Ice type thing.
Right, right.
Where they're shouting, "We won't comply. We won't comply." And no worker left behind. Now, who would have thought 20 years ago that you would have people who love freedom, people who love the Constitution, would sound like they were union people. I mean, they had their megaphones, and it was just, you've got to see the pictures, and I took some video. And even though it was a smaller contention of people that were going around, it was still a large group of people. You'll see for yourself when I upload
right.
the video of us going around DORA. I think that was just a really great symbolism. And then there were police on motorcycles and bikes and you name it, all around us as we were going to this. And somebody shouted over to the police and just said something like, "Are you going to hold up and stand for the Constitution today and your oath of, you know, service?" The other thing I just wanted to tell you real quick, on my way over to the Capitol, there was a young woman. She had on her little mask and she had a sign telling people to go home. And this is her neighborhood. And it was on 14th Street, right across from the Capitol. And I'm walking across the street, and she's yelling at me, telling me to go home. And I said, "I'm sorry, but this is the people's neighborhood. You know, we're standing right here at the Capitol. This is my neighborhood every bit as much as it's your neighborhood." And then she started her expletives and called me a Nazi. And I just said, "You're a zombie."
Yeah.
You know, and she left me alone. But then I get over to the other side, and there's all these people having a great time, laughing, families, kids, dogs, and all they want is just to go about their lives.
Go back to work.
Did you run into any stripper nurses? Were they back out there?
No. You know what? I think we have cured that from happening anytime soon.
All right. Well, Jan, listen, we got Michael Towson. We'll go back to him. Thank you for your report and all that you do. And thank you for keeping us in the loop on things. Good job out there.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
All right.
You know, Michael,
you're the Nazi.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You're the Nazi.
Like,
right.
You're the one who wants to like not let people go out of their homes. Wants a fascist regime, fascist regime, inflicted on the country, and you're the Nazi. Like these people, there's nothing you can do with them. Like they have no rationality, no reasoning, no understanding of facts, no understanding of history. There's really like nothing that can be done with them.
Right.
This is the problem. Yeah.
Well,
you brought up a great point about Weinstein Weissman saying there's nothing new here.
And, about the General Flynn case.
Not about the Flynn case, that this is what they do.
Yes. I mean,
you have to realize they go after children. They go after your kids. They go after your wife.
Right.
They try
to entrap you.
Yes, right. They try to. And Kimberly Strassel said this is not what the FBI does. They're supposed to investigate crimes, not invent them. You kind of go, "Where have you been, Kimberly?"
Yeah. They decide they want to get you, and they do whatever it takes to get you. They don't decide they want to get you because they don't try to prosecute a crime. They try to get people.
Yes, well, that's what Beria said, the head of the original Secret Service for the Soviet Union. He said, show me the man, I'll show you the crime.
Yes.
I mean, that's a perfect, that's what they do. But we had Trevor Aronson, who's from The Intercept, on for his book, The Terror Factory, Inside the FBI's Manufactured War on Terrorism. And he said, all these terrorism cases, not all of them, there's about 10% that are real, but 90% are manufactured by the FBI. They get some guy who comes on the internet and says, you know, I don't like this, and I, you know, and
then, oh, and it's worse than that. Like, their informants wind up, like, so Omar Mateen pretty clearly was an FBI informant. Like,
right, so right.
Eventually it came out, they didn't admit it, that his father was an informant.
Right.
And then what they have, so they admit that, like, much later. They don't admit it right away. Then later, they even have to admit that they interviewed Mateen to be an informant, but it's not clear, like, why they rejected him. And I know a hacker guy who claims, to, who I believe, who claims to have documents that say that Omar Mateen was an informant. There's a letter from Comey taking him off the watch list.
Wow.
And that's why Comey didn't want, that's why Comey kept claiming, oh, it's homophobia. Because mm-hmm. what he should have done is said, I screwed up. My informant went nuts. And this guy I know, who's like, he knows a lot of intelligence, he also says that this is a common thing with Muslim terrorists. It doesn't happen with IRA and terrorists so much. But with Muslim terrorists, when they inform, they either get guilty or freak out, and there's a backlash.
Do you remember
like about 2 or 3 years ago, a limousine driver in New York crashed and killed like 20 people, and it turned out the limousine it wasn't licensed and it wasn't inspected and had no brakes. He was an FBI informant. They were clearly protecting him.
Everybody, we had in Colorado, Chuck and I did a series of he was a serial killer,
He'd take women out and butcher them and torture them.
And the FBI knew all about it. And he was their informant. They were paying him. I mean,
that's what my Catholic friend said. He says, like, the most important thing is getting information for them. That's the most important thing.
Well, what they care about is their case.
And they'll put up with criminals. They'll get criminals out of jail. They'll get criminals out of trouble.
Right.
And there's nothing – conservative Treehouse, I think, has been really good on pointing this out. Like, to expose all this, you have to tear the whole system down. And nobody is going to be willing to do that. Barr's not going to be willing to do that.
I don't know. Trump is paying attention. And then after the election, Ray is gone. Because we've seen in this Flynn stuff, you know, like I said, so if people haven't been following. So what's been released, which is stuff that should have been released, you know, a couple of years ago, but Sidney Powell, his new defense attorney, has gotten released.
He should be attorney general.
Right. Yeah. The FBI looks into Flynn, says there's nothing here. So then it goes back up to, they said, the seventh floor, which is the top FBI leadership. And they're like, no, you're going to find something. And then they have the conversations. Okay. Well, what is it? What should we make him lie? Should we do this?
But some people don't understand. And the only person who really does understand, amazingly, is Jeff Sessions, who was AG at the time. But he says, you have to realize what they were doing. They were going to go in and talk to him. If he admitted that yes, I talked to Kislyak, sure, and talked about sanctions, how we shouldn't do anything about it, then they were going to indict him on the Logan Act. If he didn't say exactly that, then they were going to indict him on perjury. It didn't. They were going to indict him either way. Either way.
Yeah, and he's so the incoming director of national intelligence for the new president talks to the Russian ambassador.
Yeah,
and that's a violation of some law that he's, the Logan Act says, like, helping foreign nations to do something. Yeah, the whole thing is, like, ridiculous. And Barr's not going to do anything about, like, people posted this interview with Barr with Laura Ingraham, and they were like, oh, look, he's saying that crimes happened. And nobody seemed to notice he went out of his way to exonerate Obama, Lynch, and Rice.
Yeah.
For no reason. She asked him a question, and in the middle of it, he inserted, well, what they should have done was what the good people said, that they were Obama, President Obama and Loretta Lynch and Rice, they should have do this. And I'm thinking, like, what?
Why is he saying, why
are you even saying this? Obviously, because I think it's like two things. I think he doesn't want to see, nobody in there is going to want to burn down the whole institution. And that's what it has to be, burned down, salt spread into the ground, never, not replaced, not a new one.
Yeah.
Let local law enforcement fight crime. That's how it was supposed to be in the beginning. But I think, too, nobody has the heart to go after the first African-American or half-African-American, whatever he is.
And he clearly controlled it. When he had that January 5th meeting where everything by the book.
To cover your ass memo.
Yeah, right. People, there's a letter from Tell Yates' attorney saying.
Right. Yes, Yates. Yeah.
Yeah, and say what they were talking about. I mean, she's not intending to reveal this, but what they were talking about was Flynn.
Right.
And it's certainly not clear that he wasn't involved. Like, it should be an open. I think that was definitely part of the Jeff Sessions thing. That
right.
He got, when they called him a racist, he was like cowed. He was.
Oh yeah.
He was completely cowed. And he was not going to go after the first half, whatever.
But
the first president who identifies as being an African American.
Well, some of these
not American even.
Isn't there some stuff from Lisa Page where she's talking about actually briefing POTUS, which was Obama at the
time? Oh yeah, that's in there too.
Right.
Yeah. But why would Barr like just make it a point?
Well, you're depressing me there.
Oh no, there's no way. I mean, I think again, conservative triage is that his thing, Sundance thing on there has been that, and I think it's absolutely right. Barr's job is to like not burn the thing down,
and you
have to burn it down. There's no, and that's why you couldn't get Matt Whitaker in there. Like, this is the thing people have to realize too. The Senate Republicans don't want to see this burned down. Some of them are probably being blackmailed by the six.
Well, Richard Burr, tell me he isn't in on the con.
Yeah. I mean, they don't want this. They don't want this. Yeah. They don't want like McCain exposed for his role.
Right.
It's
right.
Not like
or Lindsey Graham exposed.
Yeah, Lindsey Graham is.
Yeah, they don't want that. And that's why we didn't get. That's why Matt Whitaker was only like a temporary attorney general. He was saying like Barr's a crook. I mean, not Barr. Mueller's a crook, and they would not put up with that. Again, people have to think. If you really think this is going to be all exposed and prosecuted, how are they going to now say Mueller was lying?
Right.
And crook. And part of example,
I think they're going to just expose and move on. I want to ask you something else. So,
I
want to talk about Biden for a second.
Okay, but they're going to get Cleve Smith. They're going to get a couple of
Klein
Smith,
you mean?
Klein, I thought it was Cleve Smith. Oh, okay. It's Klein Smith.
You think they're going to even get, I'm not even convinced they're going to get lower level people because they could talk. Like, unless
they don't want them to talk. Because if you talk,
that's what I'm saying.
It'll be a confidential.
Lower level people could say, if you're going to get me, I'm going to start talking. And then maybe then it's like, I don't know. But I'm not even sure.
I want to move on to something else that'll make your head explode and everyone's heads explode, and that's Joe Biden. You did also a lot of great work, and we've talked to you several times on our show back even when we were at KNUS, about just how, really, when you start looking at it, the whole accusation by Christine Blasey Ford against Kavanaugh were just made up, and you look at all of the interweaving there with Clinton people and stuff like that, it makes you, it's just disgusting. What do you make of, you know, Joe Biden now, and the disparity between the way, Joe Biden has this woman who, she says her name, she's remembered it, they're clipped, she's told all these people, maybe, who knows, maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but there's certainly a lot more there than there was with Christine
Blasey. Her mother telling Larry King on a conversation, my daughter had some problem with the senator, and I'm curious about how to do it. Blasey Ford, her own witnesses said, I never met Kavanaugh. Her best
mother,
friend,
her
high school
friend,
mother.
And her brother said she's not telling the truth.
Yeah, no, everybody. And this woman, she told other people about it. That's verified. They verified it. And I think, to me, the most credible thing about her accusations, though, is the way she said Biden responded, like, just clicked with me. Like, that's Biden. Then he got angry. He started, like, yelling at her, you're nothing to me. That, to me, is like Biden is, like, really kind of a psychopathic, stupid bully.
Yes.
My impression of his personality.
Hey,
but
man.
Yeah, it's
hey,
obviously,
man.
It's obviously double standard isn't even.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I'm sick of look, you guys are hypocrites. And it's like somebody keeps smacking you in the face. You go, oh, look, you did something wrong. You smacked me in the face. Oh, look, you did it again. You smacked me in the face. And it's like, at some point, we have to figure out what we're going to do about this. And talking with these people about it is not going to solve anything. They will stoop to anything. So Kavanaugh, they tried to frame an innocent man as a drunken rapist. There's nothing they won't stoop to. There's nothing their voters won't believe. Their voters believe that it's fascist to want to not have the government come in and tell you can't open your business. And
leave.
Right. And that you're killing.
There's nothing they won't do. The hypocrisy. It's like, to me, it's to the point where pointing it out is even offensive.
One of my favorites, and there are lots of favorites, but is Kristen Gillibrand. You know, she went after Al Franken say, "Ah, you know, he's terrible. We got that picture," and they kind of go, "Well, what did he do though?" And then, "Ah, it's awful." And then all of a sudden, now Joe Biden, "Oh, it's okay."
Well, and they're all going to say, "No, you watch." What they're going to say is, "Hey, Joe Biden addressed it."
Yeah, right? It's over.
It's over. We've he talked about it.
Well, the New York Times has looked deeply into it and exonerated him. And the New York Times, no, he didn't. Yes,
exactly
he did.
Yes,
he
did.
And if it's not that, it's because they want to put Cuomo or someone else in.
Exactly.
Like, I think it may, when I saw that it was starting to get covered in the mainstream press again, I was thinking, like, I would be amazed if he actually. So they got a perfect setup. They have a fake candidate who they can't possibly run because he can't, like, because he wanders off camera with his pants down when he tries to give it a talk, and they can keep him in, and whoever the real candidate is, they're not getting investigated, they're not getting talked about, they're not getting in. Then, like, come like whatever, like a month or two before November, Biden's like messing up. Then suddenly they say, "Oh my God, it would be cruel to put Joe Biden through this. We can't do that. Like, he really is a mentor." Then they put Cuomo. That's my guess. I don't really think it's going to be Hillary because I think
more
people in the base are really sick of her and won't even admit it.
Well, we've got a text here that says, "Joe Biden's become almost toxic." Oh, this is from our guys. "Soon the people will be distancing themselves from him in the base solely due to his corruption, senility, and he's a career political wishy-washy to do nothing except enrich himself and his family as a lawmaker."
Yeah, but they're only going to respond to his unelectability. That's
right,
the only
thing. Right.
I'm trying to figure out who is the worst major candidate in a presidential election, and
yeah, I was thinking the same thing. It's got to be.
I came up with Horace Greeley in 1872. Now, shortly after the election was over and he lost, he died in asylum. He died.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that guy. I mean, if you watch like these videos from his, like, and it's not just him. It's who are the people working for him that they can't put together like this, like what we're doing now? They can't put together a talk online that like 90-year-old grandparents do with their grandchildren, and they don't have like upside down cameras, angles, and like every kind of, and Biden's like talking, you can't hear his voice. So it's not even just him. It's like, who are the people? Are these the people you want to be like running the country? Because those are the people who are going to be helping him. They're actually, in his case, they're going to be running it. But I don't think there's a chance in hell that he's actually going to be the nominee. It's
hard right now. I mean, they don't go too berserk over it as long as Biden is in the lead, you know, nationally and local states. Then it's a little harder. But if those polls go the other way, and a couple of them recently, Gallup had Trump up 44, IDB.
And the betting odds, I haven't looked today, but they've massively, the betting people, so there's up to the minute betting odds. And Trump is
I think Trump with the
COVID thing has sort of,
right.
I think it could actually lose it for him. Because like, I think he's like alienated people in his base. I think.
Well, that's
like,
what they say. I wouldn't really.
He's alienated me. That's for damn sure.
It's a long time before now and then. Well, but you know, I go back again with Flynn. Part of the stuff is like you said, and the hypocrisy, you're right. It becomes at a certain point, okay, you keep pointing out that it's hypocritical. It's clear the Democrats don't care that it's hypocritical. They don't care that businesses are being destroyed. They don't care that the whole Mueller thing was fake. And neither do they care
about Kavanaugh. They didn't care about that. It's like you got a wild animal attacking you and you're going, "That's not rational." A rabbit dog. And you're trying to reason and you're going, "That rabbit dog didn't even understand my argument. Oh my God. What a stupid, did you see how stupid that rabbit dog is?" Like,
now you're depressing me again. What do we do?
I don't know. That's the thing, but there has to be a discussion, like not with them. Because like they're like, they hate us, they want us dead, and they'll believe any lie or they'll tell any lie. There has to be discussion amongst us about like, we don't have a country. You don't have a country when the two sides, and even if they're right and we're wrong, then it's the other way around. It doesn't even really matter who's right or who's wrong. And like, we're the ones who are self-deceived in doing this. So at some point, you know, we have to have a discussion amongst ourselves. Like, what are we doing? Because pointing out the next hypocrisy every day, it may get clicks, it may make funny articles.
You know, here's
it's
the thing.
It's not accomplishing anything. It really isn't.
We've been binge watching Game of Thrones. And so we're at like, it's season 7, if anybody's familiar. And that's where like Cersei, the evil queen, has just like blown everything up to get her way. She's like the Democrats, right? Doesn't care. She lies. She just
tortures, kills, butchers.
Finally, the girl has the dragons came in. I'm like, hello, you've got dragons. And the dragons came in. They breathed fire on everybody and they won, right? And I guess you're right. That's, and Neil Matthias text, and you need to expose the crooks. We need to do stuff. And you're right. Not just
need to torture them.
Happy, to be totally honest, like, if Trump said, hey, coronavirus, martial law, and whoops, all these Democrats suddenly disappeared, they died of COVID-19, I would applaud. Like, and Hollywood celebrities, whoops, suddenly they all disappeared, they died, they're all dead of COVID-19, and anybody else who objects is going to be dead of COVID-19. Like, I really think it's to the point, and this is extreme, but we need a Pinochet. Somebody has to kind of come in and straighten the situation out. What is talking with these people going to do? And we're not getting it. If I thought we were going to get it, I might even be worried about saying it, to be honest, because it's extreme. But it's not. That's the thing that's bothersome about this. I don't see a way out of this at all. I just see like more of a
way out. I went to the University of Salamanca in Madrid when Franco was in charge. And I talked to people about the Spanish Civil War, what it was like, and said, at first everybody, didn't like each other. Then we started to really dislike each other. And then at the end, all you wanted to do was slaughter everyone, and they wanted to slaughter
the
you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah, that's what it's coming to. Like, I really think the thing to do, but that's the thing. It's like, at least, okay, they hate us. Suppose we hate them. Suppose we're just a bit. At least we would like to separate. Like, as people in the room.
Yes.
Like, okay,
how can we get away from them? How can we get away from them?
We hate you. You're Nazis. You're fascists. And we're not letting you go. It's like their position is like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, then let's get divorced. Let's try to figure out a way. Maybe it's not feasible. But this is like, again, it doesn't even matter who's right. If they're right, then it's just the opposite of what
we're the bad ones. Because I'm still the optimistic one, an error in that they push it far enough now where they're closing businesses down, they're forcing people into bankruptcy, they're crushing dreams and plans of a lot of people out there who weren't maybe political at all. And telling them, no, you can't. I mean, you're wearing your mask, and like that lady was saying, you're a Nazi for opening up your winery or something like that. It's like, no.
Yeah, and there's no, and for you, by the way, this for a strategy that, it's not science. There's no scientific thing like let's isolate the healthy. It's very funny with swine flu. Nobody, you never heard social distancing. There are no studies on it hardly. There's like a handful of studies. They're inconclusive. Suddenly, it's a central concept in epidemiology. Right. There's not you don't isolate healthy people. There's like nothing. This is like BS from top to bottom. Yeah, maybe they went too far. I don't know, but I like you got the woman calling them a Nazi. You got I have friends who it's like they're in this masks 15 feet away. And I'm like, but there isn't a single country where the rate is different than the flu any worse.
Yeah, Sweden's fine, and they didn't do any of it.
And we never hear about, Korea, like less than 250 deaths. And then they say, they did early testing, massive testing. They tested 0.5% of the population.
And what does this massive testing do for us? This new one, we've got to be able to test 25 billion people because
what will that... testing companies, I bet.
Well, what good does it do you? Because you can be infected. I mean, why does it, testing millions and millions and millions of people do for you? Or you can identify...
It makes Bill Gates richer.
Yeah, that's right.
They claim in Korea the story is supposed to be that they did testing in isolation, but they only tested 0.5. They tested much more than other places, but it's 0.5% of the population. It's not enough. But then what about Japan? Why do we never hear about Japan? They were vilified. They didn't do testing. They didn't do close downs. 125 million people, more than that in population, less than 500 deaths.
Australia, the same way. They just said we're closing the border. And by the way, all you Chinese students are not going to school this year.
Yeah, and they were vilified. And I the most depressing thing I saw was I'm reading this article on this Korean epidemiologist, why they didn't do lockdown. He said, we're a democratic republic and we just felt that wasn't appropriate. I was just like, now I know what it's like to hate someone for their freedom. Now I finally so that's an epidemiologist. That's how they're people. And then you know, you heard these doctors did a video with the.
Oh yeah, that's been yanked from YouTube. Oh, yeah,
we can't look at that.
Can't look at that. Thank God for YouTube. And
you might be right. I mean, it may be that this has gone so far now that that this is too far. But on the other hand, there's a third of the population who are willing to like go down in flames over what CNN is telling them. And that's the problem. Like, what are you going to do about these people? Like, that whatever they hear on the TV, they're going to repeat it.
Well, 53% of the people still believe that the P tape is true.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. I had like a guy I know, like who's not even, he's not very political. You can talk to him. He, you know, he has a normal views, but if you object, he doesn't freak out. One of the first things he said to me when I met him was, "Do you think the P tape is real?" I was like, "No." I'm having this conversation. It's like unbelievable. And again, and he's a bright guy, but he's not paying attention. He picks up what he picks. So what are you going to like? And they get you. Look, so I'm reading an article about a baby who died of COVID-19. And I'm going, okay, I read through it. Turns out the baby was in the hospital with a heart condition since birth. And there's all this stuff. But at the end of the day, I felt bad for denying that the stuff we're doing has going to have any effect or that it was necessary. At the end of the day, I'm reading this article and I felt guilty. Like, they get you. There's like, it's very hard.
They make it up too, because on Monday, we're going to have a person on the show who has a friend whose sister died of a heart attack, massive stroke, right? They tested her for coronavirus, tested negative, and they still changed the cause of death on the death certificate to coronavirus.
Oh, it's you don't have to. Look, the doctors in that video, this was an incredible, people really need to watch the video and focus on what's going on. So the doctors say, we're hearing reports from doctors all over the places that they're being pressured to book COVID-19.
Right, sure.
The reporter doesn't respond. That's interesting. Let me get their numbers. I want to discern. The reporter says, well, that's just hearsay. Do you have any actual evidence on? I'm serious. That's just hearsay. Did you see it yourself? No, I'm talking about reports I've heard from other people. Well, then that doesn't mean anything. So the reporter's not going, let me get their names and numbers.
The reporter's going,
I'm Dr. Fauci's security guard, Nazi security guard, and I'm going to, and that's the other thing. The reporter said, are you saying you know more than the greatest epidemiologist in the world? Yeah. The guy who's like, he's a bureaucrat. He was wrong about AIDS, and he's proud of it. He still goes, I predicted that AIDS was going to destroy the country. But it didn't, you moron. Like, he's still like bragging about it. The AIDS activists hated him.
The model is so far off, it's unbelievable. Hey, listen, we've run out of time. Michael, everybody's touching us. We love you.
We love you, too. See you guys. Oh, look, okay.
Hey, bye, Michael.
I forgot.
Okay. Right. Michael Tao is great. Hey, want to remind folks to sponsored by Cenegenics.com, CENEGENICS, Cenegenics, and Colorado Citizen Press. You can catch all of our podcasts in the archives at chuckandjulie.com. Also, go ahead and while you're there, click on the YouTube. And if you haven't yet, we'd love to have you subscribe. That way we can bring you stuff like what Jan was talking about. We can bring it to you
and
live.
And we're moving up. We're getting it starting to go up. We're getting there.
But
if you haven't done it already, or you have a friend or sitting there next to your kid's computer, you know, he might like it too. But thanks, everybody. It's been great. Great Party Friday. And we'll see you Monday. We'll have a great show.